I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The new polling from NBC News shows that President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump are deadlocked in a hypothetical 2024 election matchup. According to the latest survey, both Biden and Trump earned 46% of support in a potential rematch of the 2020 contest. 74% of registered voters say they have major or moderate concerns about the current president's age and mental fitness. For Trump, who is just 3 years younger than Biden, that number is 27 points lower at 47%. 62% of voters say they have concerns about Trump's legal problems, but 60% say they have concerns about Biden's awareness or involvement in his son's business dealings, which is the subject of an impeachment inquiry in the Republican-led House.
Oh, she had to add the Republican-led House. And, of course, she's right, but, of course, it's really meant to be a jab, not stating a fact. That was Mika Brzezinski, MSNBC, along with her husband, co-host Joe Scarborough, breaking down an NBC poll. Now, again, I know when you get a lot of numbers on the air audio and you don't have the video to go with it, sometimes it can get a little confusing. But that NBC poll basically shows, again, focusing on Joe's age, 74% of those surveyed have concerns. But as you heard her say, but then Trump's only, you know, 4 years younger, and they're only 47% concerned. And then about 60% of each party are concerned about the legal hassles, issues, inquiries, the indictments against Trump, the Hunter Biden scandal, and how it ties into vice president at one point and now President Joe Biden. That's one survey. I will remind you, any survey taken at this point, we're still a far way from election date. And the only one that counts in the end is election day. We got a lot to break down for you today. I'm glad to have you with us again. Here we are, September 26, 2023. This is the first hour of 2 hours back-to-back of Larry Connors USA right here. Glad to have you with us, and we're running 2 hours now because you wanted more. Glad we can provide it for you. And, of course, reminding you, while you're listening to a broadcast, you can also watch the stream. Go to Larry Connors USA Facebook or Twitter, or News Talk STL Facebook or Twitter, or Rumble. And we're right there for you. And if by chance you can't watch it now or at that immediate moment, you can always pull it up and watch later. I see that many of you do because of your schedule. And I'm glad to have you watching whenever you do. And share with others, will you please? Costs nothing to share. And you can subscribe and we'll send it to you. Absolutely free. We do not sell your information. But again, you can find those at any point, either the podcast video and audio at LarryConnorsUSA.com. All right, let's go back to Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough, because they're leading up to a point. They're leading up to a point. You know where it's going. It's to shove Trump off the cliff. Let's go back to Mika after she did the NBC poll. Then she turns to the poll that we told you about yesterday, an ABC Washington Post survey.
Then the other new poll, this one from ABC News and the Washington Post, has Trump leading Biden by 9 points in a 2024 election matchup. In this survey, the former president leads the current one, 51% to 42% among all adults. The Washington Post noted that this poll is likely an outlier compared to ones taken by other groups, but it is consistent with an ABC News Washington Post poll of the same question from earlier this year. In this latest poll, 74% say Biden is too old for a second term. versus 50% who say Trump is too old for a second term, and Biden also faces negative ratings on other key issues as well. Just 37% approve of his overall job performance, compared to 56 who disapprove. Biden's approval is even lower at 30% for his handling of the economy, and at 20% for his handling of the situation at the southern border.
Yeah, those numbers at the southern border, they are cratering Biden, in addition to what you're dealing with your pocketbook. But again, they want to point out that the Washington Post even acknowledged that their own poll, along with ABC, was kind of an outlier, and yet at the same time, it did correlate to one they took not too long ago. How can it be an outlier if it correlates closely to something they had recently? Because they don't like pointing out, according to that survey, they're 9 points apart, whereas the NBC survey showed them almost neck and neck. You choose whichever poll you want, but again, I remind you, it doesn't mean that much at this point. It may be a barometer of some type, and it all might be fiction. We'll come up back to that point in a moment. Now, you got Joe Scarborough, who co-hosts the Morning Joe program with Mika, who is now his wife, and he had some comments. He was looking at a newsletter, he said, presented by Mark Halperin. He is an American journalist, billed that way, television cable host, and also a commentator for Newsmax TV, a conservative base. So Joe decided to lift some of the remarks that Halperin put out in his newsletter.
I can show you one expert after another mocking and ridiculing Joe Biden, the Democrats, for their strategy leading up to the 2022 midterm. The mockery for him talking about democracy and abortion was over the top. You should have heard them, and I'm not going to say people's names here, the so-called truth tellers. They made fools of themselves mocking Democrats and Joe Biden. And as always, there was no blowback for underestimating Biden. They were proven wrong. The irony of people attacking the press for not telling the truth and then willfully being blind to all of their terrible predictions in 2020 and 2022 is pretty thick. People said Biden was dead in the water after Iowa, after New Hampshire, after Nevada. The open mockery was over the top. The open mockery throughout the 2020 campaign was over the top. The tale of doom on election night, over the top. The tales of doom over the next 2 years, over the top. But no one has ever held accountable for underestimating Joe Biden these past few years. Nobody.
Nobody. Do you remember at any point anyone being held accountable for the reports, claims, statements of fact when Hillary and Trump were running that there is no way Trump is going to win? No way. And how many times they constantly pushed him down and said, it's not going to happen. Well, I don't really recall, do you, any of the leftist state-controlled media saying, whoops, we called that one wrong. We were way off base. No, I never did hear them being accountable. But that's what Joe Scarborough wants to push on now, based on some of those comments he was reading. And then there's the other point. Joe Scarborough moves to the point. Look, when you saw that Joe Biden, even in the primary, when he was running to become president and running against all the other Democrats in that primary, and he said, look how they viewed him then.
Remember after Iowa?
Yeah.
He was dead. Remember after New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm.
Mocked, ridiculed, dead. After Nevada, there's no way he can come back. He wins South Carolina, he wins the nomination. We heard the same thing. He's too old. He's living in his basement. He stopped up. He can't get out of his basement. He's going to lose. And then election night, oh, well, Trump's going to win this state and that state. Now things wrong. And then progressives, as well as Trumpers, wrong for 2 years about bipartisan. I'm just telling you, maybe these polls are right. Well, they're not right. It's not nine points. Morning Joe betting syndicate will take all of your bets right now. Like, if you want to take the plus nine on Joe Biden, yeah, no, Biden's not going to lose by 9 points. This is a close race.
You know what? He just said he would. He said Biden's not going to lose by 9 points. Look, I have a $100 bill here. I won't say I'll go on the 9 points, but I still will say if it comes down between Biden and Trump, this says Biden doesn't win. Joe Scarborough is right here. You want to come get it? And where's yours before we get into the bed? I want to make sure you're putting yours up front. And then you have this from Mika.
And as for Donald Trump, I think that there has got to be a point where if you're an organization that works around debating the issues and following the truth, I don't know why there are extensive interviews with this man when he cannot even admit he lost the election. Like, that would be the end of any interview anywhere, or it should be. And instead, he pontificates and rolls over people with lies, and people continue to put him on as if he is a truth teller.
I mean, you look at Jonathan.
And he's not a truth teller.
What about Hillary Clinton? I just ran and told you yesterday a clip about Hillary Clinton saying, once again, the Russians will be interfering with the election. She still thinks they interfered with the election with Donald Trump when the Durham report said that was total fiction. It was all a dirty trick campaign by Hillary. And yet the leftist state-controlled media continue to roll Hillary out as if she is a truth teller. There's an Indian expression you probably have heard. I have a couple good Indian friends who say we've always liked it. So you may not consider it politically correct, but they think it's just perfect. You speak with forked tongue. You know where they're going with that. Well, we're about to see what evidence the House Oversight Committee has on the Biden crime family. The big question, will there be enough to directly link President Biden to Hunter's business deals?
Meanwhile, the House Oversight Committee releasing its list of witnesses for the first Biden impeachment inquiry hearing. That hearing is happening Thursday this week. Here are the witnesses: forensic accountant Bruce Dubinsky, former Assistant Attorney General Eileen O'Connor, and law professor Jonathan Turley will be the first witnesses at that hearing Thursday. Meanwhile, Miranda Devine reporting that the missing witness in the Biden corruption probe, Gal Luft, who she's written about many times and has interviewed, has, quote, offered new evidence to the House impeachment inquiry about an FBI mole who tipped off Hunter that his Chinese partners had been named in a sealed indictments back in 2017.
Now, that's a very big development. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Let me break down a couple things for you. When she mentions the name Gal Luft, she is referring to an Israeli-American think tank director, author, alleged foreign agent. He was a lieutenant colonel in the Israeli Defense Forces. Now the executive director of the Institute for the Analysis of Global Security. He was arrested in Cyprus, Feb of this year, on a warrant being issued by Interpol on U.S. charges of trafficking. He got released on bail, went missing March 28 into hiding, but now apparently he's coming forward and offering some information that there's a mole inside the FBI. Let's go to Miranda Devine of the Post as she adds more information about Gal Luft.
I think this is quite significant, this new information from Gal Luft, who obviously is a fugitive. He skipped bail in Cyprus when he was being held for extradition to the United States, and he's since been indicted for FARA violations and gun running, which he denies. So to get that out of the way, but it doesn't mean that his information isn't spot on, and it's checked out so far. This new information that he's offered to the impeachment inquiry is basically giving us a bit more input into that WhatsApp message that Hunter Biden sent to shake down his Chinese business partners at that energy company, CEFC. This was in July of 2017, and his laptop pinpoints him as being in Delaware at the time. And he basically says, if you don't give me the money, I've got my father sitting next to me, and between the two of us, we'll make your life hell.
Miranda Devine. Now, again, Gallup may well be guilty as charged. Of course, they can quickly file a failure to register as a foreign agent charge against him, and they've yet to do it on Hunter Biden. That aside, Gallup might not be the most credible person, most great person you want to be around, but it sometimes often happens, those on the inside who feel that they're being ripped off, they become the best witnesses. Yeah, they're part of some things, but they roll over. And Miranda Devine says he tipped them, you've got a mole inside the FBI.
That very evening, one of Hunter's business partners from CEFC called Patrick Ho got a phone call from Shanghai and was told, drop everything and get out of the United States. They'd had a tip off from Hunter Biden's FBI mole, alleged, that there were four sealed indictments at the Southern District of New York, which named those Chinese executives from CEFC who were Hunter Biden's business partners. And so the very day that Hunter Biden is threatening and saying, well, we have to talk about this highly sensitive and confidential matter, and saying he's sitting next to his father, that very day, within hours, Patrick Ho is told to leave town, leave the country. And in fact, the next day, Patrick Ho gets on a plane for Hong Kong.
And gets out of here. He leaves on that tip that supposedly came from inside the FBI direct to Hunter Biden. And then Miranda says, Hunter makes a visit to Patrick Ho.
A couple of months after Patrick Ho went to Hong Kong, he gets a visit from Hunter Biden and Jim Biden, his uncle, Joe Biden's younger brother. And they ask Patrick Ho to buy them two burner phones. And then they tell him, look, the coast is clear. You can come back to the United States. So in a little while, Patrick Ho gets on a plane, comes back to New York, and immediately is arrested at JFK Airport by the Southern District of New York and charged with bribery and money laundering, which he was later convicted for.
Yeah, and then he did get released on bail, then went missing, and we still don't know the whole story about Gallup. But Hunter Biden did have somebody inside the FBI tell him their indictments came ready to come down on him, and so he was able to tell him, get out of the country. And then he went to him and said, can you get us a couple of burner phones, which he apparently did. And then later he tells him, if everything's good, you can come back. Hunter apparently got bad information that time around. And a lot of this will be coming undone in the hearing coming up later this week. Now, before this hour is over, if things get too hot for Joe Biden, would he resign? Would DNC force him out? The Democrat National Committee, would they force him out? And if either of that happens, then what? Also, how's that new no cash bail system working in Illinois? Where you're picked up, you're arrested, but you know, hey, we're a loving state. We're going to let you go. No bail. How's it working? You're not going to like the answer. Lock and load. Ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. 844-944-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
I'm ready.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Look, I'm reading about these work permits and ID cards and other things that incentivize crossing the border. What gives them the authority to do that? There's no congressional legislation that says go on ahead and change the laws regarding work permits or visas or any of that stuff. Do you know? Does anybody know? Or are they just doing this?
They're just doing it, and it's part and parcel of a really lawless administration, particularly when it comes to the border, Larry. I mean, we can talk about all the other things that have been struck down, like the student loan debt scam, a lot of the Green New Deal initiatives that were never passed by Congress that they're trying to do by way of administrative state. The courts have weighed in and said you can't do that. But they've just sort of taken this initiative. They also are ignoring their constitutional duty to secure the border. And what did he do when he came in office? He tried to get rid of Remain in Mexico, which was working under President Trump, get rid of Title 42, which was working under President Trump. He was actually paying contractors to not construct the wall.
Paying contractors to not finish and construct the wall. That's Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt in an interview with Larry Kudlow. My guest is an expert border security immigration center, Laura Reese with Heritage Foundation. Laura, welcome aboard.
Thank you for having me on.
So let's go down something Kudlow raised first of all. And I brought it up the other day. They're making up these ID cards and giving pictures, and it looks it is official to the extent they say it is, and just handing it to them for what purpose, and that's not really going to make them come back for a trial date. And how did they decide they had the authority to do so?
Right. So this isn't something that ICE has done in the past. And the bottom line is the Biden administration has brought in a lot of radical political appointees and put them at ICE and other components of DHS that are involved in ICE's business. And they are abolishing ICE from within. And this is just one example. Instead of spending money to find illegal aliens, detain them as the law requires, and to deport them, they are spending money on providing social services and providing these IDs, which is then just going to facilitate illegal aliens stay in the U.S. and give them the ability to gather downstream benefits and services as well.
Suck up services meant for Americans.
Correct. Yes. Yep. ICE, instead of doing enforcement now, it's yet another social services component. This administration has turned it completely upside down. And that's why it's so important right now, as Congress is debating funding the government, it needs to defund these open border operations.
Missouri Senator Schmidt pointed that out, that, you know, we're not doing the job he swore to do, and that was protect this country from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And you're right, the House Freedom Caucus, I'm looking at a piece of the Daily Signal, stated clearly pretty much what you said, no security, no border security, no funding.
That's exactly right. And so the Biden White House is trying to pin a shutting down the government on the Republicans and claiming that the Republicans don't want to fund border security. But one more dollar given to the Biden administration continues and accelerates the very border insecurity that we're living through. So it is a trap. It's a border trap that the Democrats are trying to set. And members of Congress need to wake up and recognize it and not continue to fund this national suicide. And unfortunately, I think too many of them have been trained over so many years to just keep doing the same old thing when it comes to doing appropriation bills. And we're just going to get the same result. It's literally the definition of insanity.
So will it be, and I'm looking at a quote from Virginia, Republican Virginia Representative Bob Good, who's a member of the Freedom Caucus, saying that we're going to make sure we reduce government spending and enact several policies, beginning with securing the border. And if none of that's in there, they're going to be against everything. So who's going to be blamed if there's a government shutdown, and do we really care at that point?
Well, Republicans are always blamed. Media and the Biden administration have already laid that groundwork. That's just an automatic. But the difference is Republicans need to ignore it and do the right thing anyway. And unfortunately, in the past, a little bit of pressure applied and too many Republicans wilt. So they need to open their eyes, look at what's happening to the country, and fight to secure it.
Do you think that stands a chance in hell of surviving?
I'm not optimistic, given how weak members of Congress have been for so long. But we have never been in this situation in terms of open borders. And it's so bad that we have Democrat sanctuary city mayors crying uncle.
Right.
So, there's no end in sight. So, we'll see. But people have to keep fighting. Those New Yorkers who shouted down Ocasio-Cortez and Jerry Nadler and other New York delegation members, we need a lot more of that. And the residents of the South Side of Chicago yelling at their mayor, we need more of that. We need Americans getting vocal and protesting the way the left does on this issue if we want to turn things around.
Now, former DHS Secretary Jay Johnson states that right now what I'm seeing, as he said, the two most alarming stats I see, 8,900 apprehensions on our southern border in one day last week, and then on the Mexican border with Central America. South Americans are now exceeding the number of Central Americans in migrating north. I mean, the welcome mat is out for anyone, everyone. We already know that, 150-plus nations represented. We are not going to have the United States of America. I'm not sure we're already not northern Mexico.
Yeah, it's over 160 countries, which is at least 80% of the globe's nations have come here. And it's quite an organized effort. And yet the U.S. government, the American taxpayer, is funding it, particularly with the NGOs that organize all this. And not just at our U.S.-Mexico border, but south of the border, all the way down to Panama and the Darien Gap. We're funding the U.N. We're funding the International Organization of Migration. We're handing out debit cards and processing millions of migrants who then head north and end up in the U.S. and resettle all over the country. So defunding the NGOs is absolutely critical. And Biden admitted this last week when he gave a short speech to the Congressional Hispanic Caucus. He said, he wants more funding for the NGOs, and he bragged that they've already given over $1 billion to the cities and states who deal with the resettling. It's basically hush money.
Yeah.
Don't complain. Don't complain about the numbers. Here, we'll throw money at you.
Yeah, and the Border Patrol agents are now serving as reception agents, basically. But Jay Johnson, again, former DHS secretary, said, in purely political terms, you want to maximize Donald Trump's chance of reelection? Fail to deal with this issue. This will turn politics upside down.
Yeah, I mean, Trump ran on this issue in 16, and it's far, far worse now. So whether it's him or somebody else, the bottom line is border security is a top three issue for Americans across the board. And there is no change afoot on the left. So it's just going to grow for the right.
How does someone on the left even run against that record? And for that matter, if you're Republican, how are you running to be reelected if you are not supporting shut down the border?
Well, I mean, it's a good question. And unfortunately, a lot of politicians on the right will talk about border security and claim they're for it. But then once they're in Congress, as we're seeing right now, they aren't necessarily willing to fight as they campaigned. And so what we need is action, not just talk. This needs to be more than a convenient talking point on a campaign. If our nation's to survive, we need true solutions here.
You're listening to Laura Reese with Heritage Foundation, an expert on national security, border security. You and a colleague at the Heritage have pointed out, by ignoring the law, refusing to detain and deport illegals, and making no effort to secure the border, Biden has created a historical security crisis that is killing Americans.
Yeah, that's right. We know that, for example, there's over 1.6 known gotaways, and we know that this administration has also hit a record number of terrorist watch list encounters at the border. So we've got to assume that among the gotaways, there are more known and suspected terrorists, and that doesn't include the gang members and the fentanyl that's crossing. So too many Americans have died just in this administration, as well as migrants, and we need to get a handle on this. Protecting Americans is job number one for any politician. The president, members of Congress, swore an oath to protect this country.
Yes.
And by not securing the border, Mayorkas of Homeland Security, the president, and others have completely ignored their duty. It's been an utter dereliction of duty.
In the last 30 seconds for you, if you're a terrorist nation or China, this is a great opportunity. You agree?
Oh, yeah. And the Chinese numbers at the southern border encountered has multiplied, I think, fivefold each month. I mean, they have clearly got the message. And it's single adult males, not families. So, we are, unfortunately, back in a pre-9/11 posture.
And then we have the children being victimized as they're trafficked. Laura Reese, as always, I thank you for your time.
Thank you so much.
You bet. Her analysis is always to the point and solid, and you just wish those who are in charge would listen. Coming up, what if the Democrat National Committee, because of the border crisis and other things, decides, let's dump Joe Biden. Stand by, please. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website and see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience. Do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beal has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills and it thrills like the horns on my Silverado grill.
And out by the bar, double round of crown, and everybody's getting down in this town. Ain't never gonna be the same. 'Cause I saddle up my horse and I ride into the city. I make a lot of noise 'cause the girls, they are so pretty. Riding up and down Broadway on my own Studley Roy, and the girls say, save a horse, ride a cowboy. Everybody says, save a horse, ride a cowboy.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I think the odds are very significant that next summer at the Democrat National Convention, that the Democrat Party will jettison Joe Biden, will throw him off the ticket, and they will parachute in instead Michelle Obama to be their candidate. I think they're going to look to Michelle Obama as the savior to come in. And I think if that happens, that would be very, very dangerous. And every time I see a Democrat or one of their puppets in the press beginning to point out the problems with Joe Biden, every time that happens, the chances of that go up and up and up.
Well, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas raises a very interesting and I think valid point. The Democrats, they are trying to run from Joe and yet at the same time maintain some connection. But there are many that don't want anything to do with the man, and especially the more the polls go upside down. And it's not necessarily because of his age, his stumblings, his failings, and everything else. It's how the policies have damaged this America. Do you believe that JFK would be accepted in today's Democrat Party? No. Neither would LBJ. Neither would Clinton. And I'm not even sure Obama would at this point. To just simply throw open the borders. It's on record. It's on record, and I've told you about it. I've played it for you numerous times. Clinton and Obama had said, Bill Clinton and Obama had said, we are a nation of immigrants. We are built of immigrants, and we're proud of what they bring, and they share their heritage and their culture and their food. And it's good for us as a country. We are the melting pot. But they each also added, but we have laws. And the law is you have to come in legally. So the Democrat National Committee, when Ted Cruz looks at it, and all this going on, he has to look and think, if I were inside the Democrat National Committee, what would I do? Well, he said, I think they're just going to dump him. They'll just dump him. There had been talk previously that they would come up with a special elector process, super electors as they're called, and they would show up at the convention and basically have control of it. Anything to get Joe Biden out of the way. Now, there comes another issue, though. And Senator Ted Cruz has the answer in his view. What happens if Biden is jettisoned?
You would have the top four, I think, would be Kamala Harris, Pete Buttigieg, Elizabeth Warren, and Gavin Newsom. I think that'd be the top tier, and I think they'd fight like crazy. In an open primary, I actually think in that primary, I think Elizabeth Warren wins, because I think Elizabeth Warren is the closest to the id of the Democrat Party. It's where they are. You think about it, in 2020, you had Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders splitting the crazy left-wing socialist moonbat lane of the Democrat Party. If Warren runs this time, she'll dominate that lane. Now, the problem is, if you're a Democrat who wants to win, that scares you. You look at Kamala Harris, and Kamala's numbers are worse than Joe Biden's. That scares you. And so I think, as they're thinking about it, who you could put in, if the Democrats pick any of those four, you tick off the other three and risk alienating their supporters.
Yeah, you would. Those remarks Senator Ted Cruz making last night on Sean Hannity. And when he points out how Warren and Bernie Sanders, how they were getting, as he said, the moon bats at that point. Do you remember how close Bernie Sanders was getting to Hillary that they had to pull dirty tricks campaign on him. The Democrat National Committee, which is supposed to support all Democrats equally, and the top one emerges. They were already conspiring with Hillary to do Bernie in. Of course, he later found out about it. You think he's forgotten about it? Oh, no. He may say, I forgive you, but I haven't forgotten it. There's no way he's going to forget it. And those who took part in it also have to ask themselves, look what we did. We actually shot ourselves in the foot in that election. And now what the guy is that they ended up getting when Trump ran the second time, they have to ask the same question again. You heard Cruz bring up about bringing Michelle Obama in, that she would parachute in at the last minute. In our next hour, we're going to take a closer look at what he says about Michelle. You have to begin with, does she even really want it? Ted Cruz says there is a way that she would want it, and this might be the best way for her to actually become part of the race. Now, as I said, we'll get more into that in our second hour. You don't want to miss it. Okay, so play along with me for a moment. Let's have some fun. We're not talking Monopoly. We're talking about real money now here. Let's say you had $500,000 cash in your home. $500,000. Stuffed in various drawers, suit pockets, lingerie drawers, wherever you want to put it. You better remember where you put it so you can find it. But anyway, you got it in there. And on top of that, you got about $100,000 in gold bars in your home. Better remember where you put those as well. Wouldn't want them to go out with the trash. Yeah, you got $500,000 cash, $100,000 in gold bars. Question. Riddle me this. How could you explain the money and how you got it, especially if you're a U.S. senator? That's coming up.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
On Friday, the Southern District of New York brought charges against me. I understand how deeply concerning this can be. However, the allegations leveled against me are just that, allegations. For anyone who has known me throughout my 50 years of public service, they know I have always fought for what is right. My advocacy has always been grounded in what I learned from growing up as a son of Cuban refugees, especially my mom, my hero, Evangelina Menendez. Everything I've accomplished, I've worked for, despite the naysayers and everyone who has underestimated me. I recognize this will be the biggest fight yet. But as I have stated throughout this whole process, I firmly believe that when all the facts are presented, not only will I be exonerated, but I still will be the New Jersey's senior senator.
And that might be true, because he'd been charged before, and it ended in a hung jury. We're talking about, and you were listening to, New Jersey Democrat Senator Bob Menendez. Now, again, he claims, the reason I had all that money in my house, and maybe you do some of this, in effect, he's saying I don't trust the banks and the government. That's what he's saying, but not in those words. He says I had withdrawn thousands of dollars in cash over the past 30 years. That's how I got it there. Senator, why didn't you leave it in the bank where it's insured and protected? Do you know something coming down the road? We don't. Is it the digital currency thing? But you say you've been doing it for 30 years. Or is it money you didn't want to be reported, which would be an income tax violation if you got it in some fashion, you didn't put it into your bank account. But he says, I withdrew it from the bank. So he's indicating it was already in the bank. I took it out. Now, you know, one of the first things investigators are going to do, let's look at those bank deposits and withdrawals and see if they match up. There he was at that time insisting, as you heard him say, I've always done this right. And here's how he goes on and explains it. For 30 years, I have withdrawn thousands of dollars in cash from my personal savings account, which I've kept for emergencies, and because of the history of my family facing confiscation in Cuba. A senior senator for New Jersey, you are in the USA. You have reason to believe the banks are going to start seizing bank accounts. There have been conspiracy theories to that. Is he a conspiracy theorist, or does he know something that we don't know? Or is it, again, just an explanation? Yeah, in Cuba, they just come in and take whatever you got. Well, they don't just go to your bank. They go to your house and everything. But beyond that, he said all the allegations are baseless. He said it may seem old-fashioned, but these were monies drawn from my personal savings account based on the income that I have lawfully derived over those 30 years. It also made a statement, as you were listening to, he said, I worked hard for everything I've got. Now, that I don't doubt. By working hard, if it involves graft, corruption, bribery, that's working hard, because you also have to conceal it. I'm not saying he did. I'm just saying that that would also qualify as working hard. He pointed out, remember, this is just allegations only. Did you hear him come out at any time on the indictments filed against Trump and say, as a senior senator, I want to point out to everyone that Donald Trump is innocent until proven guilty? Did he? No, he didn't do that. Well, the accusations are, of course, from the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, which is strange that it came out of there. And yet, same time, maybe they thought, well, we just can't hide this anymore. Let's sacrifice Menendez and his wife, Nadine. They're both indicted on three counts for allegedly corrupt relationships involving three other New Jersey businessmen. And through that, they allegedly accepted hundreds of thousands of dollars in gold, cash, other bribes, quote, in exchange for using Menendez's power and influence as a senator, not only to, quote, protect and enrich, but to benefit the Arab Republic of Egypt. According to NBC News, he also got payments to a home mortgage for a low or no-show job, that was his wife, and other items. Prosecutors claim that DNA and fingerprints from one of the three businessmen have been found on some of the envelopes in which the cash was found. Oh, I'm sure he just happened to be visiting them and said, can I have one of your envelopes? They said, sure, have it. And that's going to be a good explanation. And they get this Mercedes worth more than $60,000 that one of them apparently gave for Menendez helping interfere in a New Jersey criminal investigation. This is the second time he's been indicted on bribery allegations. He was indicted in 2015, but again, the case resulted in a mistrial. I don't know if he's guilty or not. Let's don't jump to conclusions. I know what many would jump to conclusions about Trump, but with all this evidence it's presented, and then what are you going to do about selling influence when it comes to Biden, Hunter Biden? You know the attitude, you know the answer they're pushing around now? Everybody uses relatives to get ahead and so forth. Well, of course you do. You know, you called me and said, my daughter's looking for a job in TV. Can you help her get it? I said, yeah, I can introduce her and get her to get an interview. I can't give her the job, but I can help set it up. We all do that. But if I'm taking money to do it, as a private citizen, I could still do that, but that, in my opinion, would be wrong, so I wouldn't do it. But if a foreign country is asking for a favor or someone representing them, you're right. You're right that not only wrong, it's criminal. So you know some of these illegals that we've been gathering everywhere, we're being told that Chicago says we have room to handle many more. Well, now they may have a problem with inside that. There's a Chicago Police Oversight Agency that is investigating sexual misconduct between police officers and the illegals at the police station. They're being kept in police stations across Chicago. And apparently it's opening up the opportunity for sex, for pay, or who knows, for what, between some Chicago police officers and some of the illegals, maybe by choice, maybe by not such a choice. And, of course, you know we had a lot of law changes inside the state of Illinois recently. One of them being the no-cash bail system, which went into effect last week. How's that working out? Well, the Monroe County State Attorney says unless there's a specific enumerated offense, you have to actually apply for the class of a felony and provide reason that the defendant provides a risk to the community at large. So they were targeting and chasing and got hold of two people into custody for a stolen vehicle. They found drugs inside the car, and one of them is released, no cash bail. Will she show up for a court date? Will she show up? Don't hold your breath. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.